In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Oh,
The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, whose grace always precedes and follows us, help us to forsake all trust in earthly gain and to find in you our heavenly treasure. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Angel's Tide is from the book of the prophet Amos, the fifth chapter. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour, with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. This is the word of the Lord. Lord, you have been our dwelling place
in all generations.
So teach us to number our days,
that we may live apart from wisdom.
Return, O Lord, how long?
Have pity on your servants.
Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love,
that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us,
and for as many years as you have seen evil.
Let your work be shown to your servants,
and your glorious power to their children.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us.
Yes, establish the work of our hands.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now,
and ever shall be,
world without end. Amen.
Lord, you have been our dwelling place
in all generations.
The reading from the letters is from the letter to the Hebrews, the third chapter. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief.
This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the gospel of the Lord. The word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel reading, Jesus, looking at the rich young man, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But disheartened by the saying, that man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is our text. Jesus is on a journey to the cross when a young man comes running up to him and kneels in front of him. For that young man, it's a matter of life and death. Though not as we so often hear in the Gospels. This time there's no fever, there's no leprosy, there's no demon possession, there's no dying son or daughter. There's only a soul in search of eternal life. This man comes running up with a monster of uncertainty nipping at his heels. And then before Jesus, his question just tumbles out, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How can I be sure? How can anyone be sure?" He's a sincere and earnest young man, as young men sometimes are. His desire for eternal life is real. His thirst for assurance is real. He wants a guarantee of eternal life. He wants something that he can count on. He wants something he can take to the bank. He wants, even needs, something to do. That's the main verb in his salvation question, as you might have noticed. What must I do? You see, the way he asks that question puts him in the driver's seat. He thinks that he's in control. All it takes is something that needs to be told to him that he's got to do, and it will be taken care of. Salvation is something he can accomplish, something he can achieve. "Just tell me what it is, Jesus, and I'll do it." How often do we insist on being the one to do things? Such self-confidence. We often trust ourselves more than we trust anyone else. And so it was for this man. He trusted himself. All he needed to know was what to do. "Good Jesus, tell me, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" If you're looking for something to do, the Bible has plenty to say. But before he goes there, Jesus has a question to ask this man. "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." In other words, Jesus says, when you call me good teacher, are you calling me God? Or are you just trying to butter me up? Because what you believe about me matters eternally. So who do you say that I am? But as for what to do, there's no mystery. You know the commandments, Jesus says. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Do these things. Start here. You might notice that Jesus doesn't list all the commandments, however. He doesn't name the first three commandments. You shall have no other gods. Don't misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And he also leaves off the last commandment. You shall not covet. Exercising self-control over the body and the tongue is one thing, but keeping the heart in check is another thing. The young man hears what Jesus says. He hears that list of the commandments, and he rejoices. "Teacher," he says, not good teacher this time, but just regular teacher. "Teacher," he says, "all these I have kept from my youth." If it's a matter of doing, then this guy's done it. You can't get any better than this guy. He's a good citizen. He would make a great neighbor. You'd love it if he moved in next door. He's an all-around upstanding young man. But he's missing one thing. He's blind to the fact that eternal life is a gift, not a reward. That eternal life is an inheritance, and an inheritance can only come as a gift. It can only be received, not earned, not taken. Jesus, looking at that young man, loved him. Perhaps one of the most poignant verses in all of Scripture. He looks at that young man, and he loved him. A beautiful sentence. Jesus knew this young man, and he loved this young man with a love that would lead to the cross. But there is one thing, and only one thing that matters, and it has to do with Jesus. So the Lord tells this young man, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And when that young man heard these words, he was disheartened and he went away sad because he had great possessions. What was the one thing that this man lacked? It wasn't that there was something he needed to do, but there was something he needed to receive. And that was Jesus. And that's what disheartened this young man so much that he was unwilling to receive Jesus. He would do anything he needed to do, but he wanted to be the one to do it. So Jesus strikes here at the heart of this man's do-it-yourself religion. Jesus says to him with these words, "I'm here to help you, son. You're spiritually lacking something. Here's what it is. Sell all your stuff. All of it. Liquidate your assets and your bank accounts. Add it all up. And what's the total? Thousands. Millions. Impressive. Give it to the poor. Sure, you won't have your stuff, but you'll have heavenly treasure. You'll have eternal life by trusting in me. Learn a new spirituality. Instead of being the one who does, be the one who receives. Because Jesus says, I'm the one who gives. I'll take care of you, not only now, but forever. I promise. And one of these nights, when the Passover is celebrated, on a night when I'll be betrayed, I'll hand out my last will and testament. I'll spell it out this way: bread and wine. With the bread, my body. With the cup of wine, my blood. The New Testament in my blood. All for you. Your sins forgiven. Pure gift. Nothing you have to do. And to give you this inheritance, I put my last will and testament into effect by dying on a Friday afternoon. That's what I'll do, Jesus says, so that you can inherit eternal life. When it comes to the salvation job, Jesus is the only game in town. The salvation verbs all belong to him. Eternal life is what he does. And he'll be the one who says when it is finished. And he'll dish out the benefits when and where he desires. "I am the Lord your God," Jesus says, "and the inheritance of eternal life is my gift to you. So come along, follow me, and receive what I have to give." Jesus knows that there's only one guarantee when it comes to eternal life. It's not the way of the commandments. It's by way of inheritance. It comes through the cross. That's why Jesus goes to the cross, that you and I and that young man might inherit eternal life. It's what he does for that man, and it's what he does for you and for me. And that rich young man, he hears what Jesus has to say, and he turns and walks away. He won't be given to by Jesus. He wants something to do, but he does not want to receive. And Jesus won't let him do anything for eternal life. It's a complete letdown to someone who wants to be in control of everything, including his salvation. It's a complete letdown to someone who thinks that they can do all that is needed. He was a man hyped up about taking care of the salvation job himself. He even asked good Jesus for advice. Sell everything, give it all to the poor, and then trust Jesus? No way. Not a chance. Why not? It's because this man trusted his stuff. He feared, loved, and trusted in his possessions and his wealth more than he did in Jesus. If he unloads all his stuff, if he gives it all away, why, he just can't take that chance. He won't trust Jesus. He can't. What about you today? Are you going to walk away from Jesus? And no, I'm not saying that you need to sell everything that you have and give to the poor. We'll hear more about that in a minute. But what is it that you trust in? What is it that you fear? What is it that you love above Jesus? What hinders you from trusting his promise to take care of everything for you, both now and forever? What idols, what false gods in your lives forbid you from following Jesus, from receiving his gifts? Is it property? Is it wealth? Is it something else? I recently heard about a pastor who, in the bulletin of his church, would include a note about why we give offerings. And he had five reasons. I'll highlight one of them, but I'll share all five with you. He said we give offerings first to thank God for providing all our needs. Second, to fight against the love of money. Third, to strengthen our trust that God will continue providing for us. Fourth, to remind ourselves that God is the true owner of all things. And fifth, to help those in physical and spiritual needs. Especially that second one, to fight against the love of money. Offerings and gifts of love are a way of disciplining ourselves against the constant temptation to serve the wrong master. In fact, this pastor I mentioned would encourage the members of his congregation, while they gave their offerings, to say under their breath, while they slip it in the offering box, "You are not my master. You are not my God. You cannot save me." Our stuff, our wealth, our possessions, they are good gifts from God, but they cannot save us. And we must be on guard against the temptation to trust in money. And we must also learn to fight against the love of money. Because whatever the idol is that we trust in, it will crack and it will break under the pressure you put on it. I like to say that every false idol we create for ourselves, no matter how good it is, will fail us eventually. Your idol cannot handle all of your fears. It cannot handle all of your concerns, or your guilt, or your sin, or your eternal salvation. Oh yes, the idols we make for ourselves, they promise us good things. They promise us joy and life and love and happiness here, but even that they cannot deliver. In the end, our idols, if we turn our hearts to them, will only deliver to us hell. It promises life, but it can only bestow death. It claims to be your God, but it lies. Jesus doesn't lie. He tells the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Lord your God. That's his promise. And he will give himself entirely to you with all that he is and with all that he has. He reconciles you to the Father by his blood. So the Father is not angry with you. God does not hate you. He loves you for Christ's sake. And he forgives you for Christ's sake. And he gives you eternal life for Christ's sake. You are saved in Christ. He is your Lord. And now you and I are free to use our property, our wealth, and our possessions in service to our neighbors. Your neighbors are your family. Your neighbors are your congregation, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and your community, and your country, and the world. We are free, through the inheritance of eternal life, to use what God gives us to serve and love others. Because what you have is all from God. And he gives you all your stuff, not so you can idolize it, but instead so that you can use it to help those in need and those who are helpless, and to serve your families and your brothers and sisters and those around you. And as you use your stuff to help your neighbor, you do it to Jesus. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, eternal life is your inheritance as you follow Jesus Christ. And your money, your wealth, your possessions, your things are not your God. They cannot and they will not serve you. So take them for what they are, use them for what God would have you, and take great joy in following Jesus through this life into the life of the world to come. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, thy strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord God of hosts, reveal our sin to us through your word. Do not let us dare to approach you in our own righteousness, but humbly in repentance, that we may inherit eternal life by your grace in Christ alone. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord God of hosts, keep us from hating those whom you send to reprove us with your law, and from despising those who speak your truth to us, that we might repent and live. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord God of hosts, sanctify us with your Spirit, that we may hate evil and never pursue it, but instead love good and seek it always. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, God of hosts, let your favor be upon all who govern us in your stead. Establish the good works of their hands upon us, that we might live in peace. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God of hosts, protect and care for all who serve in the armed forces, especially Anthony Cole, Brandon Dodge, Kalisha Jackson, Tim Jackson, Jeremy Murphy, Robin Murray, Jake Pagregan, Gary Palmer, John Perkins, Dalton Pivahouse, Lucia Rodriguez, Andrea Solomon, Megan Van Dyke, John Wade, Stephen Young, and Emily Youngblood, that they might serve with integrity and honor. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God of hosts, grant your blessing to Andrew and Melinda, united in marriage, and to their children Madison, Jace, and Julian, that they might live faithfully together as you will. Watch over as well Abby LeBaire, Kaylee Phelps, and all expectant mothers and their children. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God of hosts, have pity on Janet Lipke, John Erickson, Amy Bennett, Stan Thompson, Reverend Dr. Timothy Yaden and Ruth, his wife, Karina Faw, Louise Fonseca, Nancy McTighe, Phyllis Moss, Lucy Naylor, Eleanor Norrie, M.J. Oakes, Ed Pinard, and our homebound Karen Hamill, Rick Silvestro, and Andrea Wetmore, and all your servants afflicted in body or soul, satisfy them with your steadfast love in Christ, and grant health and healing in accord with your perfect will. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God of hosts, satisfy our longing hearts with your steadfast love here in the feast of Christ's body and blood, that we may rejoice and be glad in you all our days and into eternity. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God of hosts, we give thanks for all your saints, whose confidence in Christ you kept firm unto the end. Graciously keep us firm in the same faith, that in the end we may enter with them into your rest. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.